All right. If you want to turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, that's where we're going to start this morning. All right, so actually just really enjoyed looking at some of these scriptures leading up to today. And, you know, we've been looking and talking about walking by the Spirit. That Spirit of God that's been given to us, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the life that God has given us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's that comforter. It's that helper. And, you know, we've seen over the last couple few weeks how there is really conflict between the flesh and the spirit, right? The desires of the flesh and the desires of the spirit, and they're in conflict with one another. So here we are in the world, and we have a body, a flesh, that's still has desires and responds to temptation and other things, but God has given us spirit to walk by, right? And so we looked at yesterday how we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, right? In the life we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. How we've been delivered from the bondage of sin, right? So we have a choice now where we didn't have a choice before. Where as new beings in Christ, new creations in Christ, I get to choose to submit myself, my life, my body to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to sin any longer. That's great freedom. Today what we're going to look at, how the Word of God helps us walk by the Spirit of God. I thought about that one verse where Jesus says, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life, right? And we as humans, we sometimes like to compartmentalize things to better understand them, I guess. But really, you can't really divide God's word from his spirit. Okay, one comes from the other, and they're together, they're one. So the function of God's word in our life today in terms of walking by the Spirit is indispensable. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're just going to read a section we've read a couple times now. One of the things that the Word of God does is shows us what is the flesh and what is the spirit? What are the things of the world and what are the things of God? And boy, isn't that helpful? You stop and think of that. How would you know if the Word of God wasn't clear? So in Galatians chapter 5, we'll let them stop screaming here for a minute. Okay. In Galatians chapter 5, we'll start in verse 16. It says here, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Here's the works of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do or those that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, here's the contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I love Pete made that point a few weeks ago. That even the world makes laws against the other things, right? So there's at least an understanding that those things need to have law to kind of hold them back from becoming a problem, right? But against these things, the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law against those things. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. You just see the contrast, right? Here I am a believer. Born again, I have the Spirit inside of me now, right? But the mind is not an automatic, it didn't automatically change with the receiving of the Spirit, right? You're born into the world, a certain way of thinking. Now I've received Spirit, and now there's this beautiful opportunity where God's Word helps us to put our mind where the Spirit is already. Isn't that cool? And we're going to see that as we go. I want to see just how beautiful the Scriptures do this. I'm going to read a couple verses here, and you just listen. In John 15, 7 through 8, it says, "If you abide in me," this is our Lord speaking, "and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. For by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So prove to be my disciples." Isn't that beautiful? So what's the instruction here? Abide in me, and my words abide in you. And when you abide in me, he says, when your words abide in me, you're going to bear a lot of fruit. Well, what kind of fruit do you think that's going to be? It's going to be the fruit of the Spirit that he's given us and of his word abiding in our heart. Isn't that cool? Right? Here's another one. I love this one. Psalm 119, it says, "How can a young man or woman or old man or young woman," really, it's gonna include everybody, right? "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Isn't that cool? "I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." You see it? The word of God shows us what the desires of the flesh are, what the desires of the Spirit are. And then we're given that responsibility to abide in his word, or let his word abide in us and in our heart, so that we then bear fruit to God, spiritual fruit to God. Beautiful, right? So I think we all know this, right? But we also all know the struggle that it can be really challenging to take the time to be in his word. And I was just thinking about this, like, why is it so challenging? And here's the thing. As a child, if you were given the choice of ice cream or salad to eat, which one do you choose?
Ice cream,
right? That's as simple. So did we see anywhere in the works of the flesh the desire for God and his word? Is that in there? No. So the flesh, is the flesh naturally desiring to read the word?
No.
It's not part of your natural desire. When something's part of your natural desire, it's quite easy. Ooh, ice cream. Yes, please. I'll have more. You know, and even eating to the point that you're sick as a kid, especially, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it takes a recognition of, wait, the salad is better for me, and I know that. And so I'm going to go in, I'm going to eat the salad. It's not going to be as pleasurable right away, right? But there's great fruit that comes from that. Does that make sense? Makes sense. So sometimes I think, especially as a younger man, and you do want to have a desire for the word. Of course I want to have a desire for the word, but I think I felt like, what's wrong with me? I don't desire this as much as everybody else around me seems to. This isn't as fun as everybody's acting like it is. Are they acting? Maybe it's not. Maybe we're all just acting. You know, you just ask yourself these questions. Well, yeah, it's not your flesh. It's not something your flesh says, yeah, give me more. But we have a Spirit of God in us, right? We have a relationship with him, right? And as you start to see, gosh, this word of God helps my heart and my mind walk in step with the Spirit, walk in fellowship with my God, that fellowship with Him, there's nothing like it. So I just want more of that and more of that. You see? It's exciting. And this is what the Word of God does for our heart and for our mind. All right, go to James, the book of James. That's one of the exciting things about going to the Word of God. As you start to have our, as we start to have our eyes open and we see, gosh, I've been delivered. I've been made this spiritual being in Christ. And His Word helps me think that way. His Word helps my heart to stay there. That's exciting. So we can bear much fruit. James chapter 1. And this is a little bit, again, about temptation and walking by the Spirit as opposed to walking by the flesh and the function of God's Word in doing that. Verse 12, look at this, what it says here. It says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death." So I want to read this. So as we're reading here, we're learning some things, right? Some things that are helpful for our mind and our heart in walking in a world that's fallen, but having the Spirit of God and wanting to choose God versus choosing the world, right? Here's the first thing we learn. Blessed is the person who remains steadfast under trial. Isn't that cool? That's a good thing to know. But let no one say in verse 13 when he's tempted, "I'm being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So, if I'm being tempted, is it coming from God? No, it's not coming from him, because he doesn't tempt anybody with evil. Right? But then it says this, "But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire." And I thought this is so cool. Temptation is out there, right? It's good to know that temptation is out there. It's just out in the world, all around us, right? Temptation to think, and I'm not just talking temptation for sex, drugs, and alcohol and everything else, right? The idea is there's temptation to think and to walk by the flesh versus by the Spirit. And sometimes people call that wisdom and insight and intellectualism and whatever else, right? But there's this constant temptation to think according to the flesh, not the Spirit. So here, this temptation is out there. And it says here, when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. We talked about our desires last week, the desire of the flesh, right? Desires certain things. And so the lure is our flesh's response to the temptation that's all around us to love something more than we love God. To just simply put something above Him. And that's the lure. You know, I thought about like Eve in the garden, right? Ooh, that looks good. It's a tree to be desired to make one wise. Wow. Right? Her desire in her flesh desired that tree above the Word of God, above what her God had already told her. Do you understand? And then Adam took and he also did eat. Do babies grow in a womb in one day?
No.
Nope. Neither do sin babies, normally. This is kind of funny here. I think it's funny the way it says, when desire has conceived, gives birth to sin. Sin is fully grown, it brings forth death, right? So these things sometimes can take time. right? A temptation comes, it gets you thinking, oh, that kind of looks good, maybe I'll go that way. But you know what can be, what is so helpful for the believer is to have that word of God constantly coming in my ears, speaking it with one another. You understand? Going to God and thanking him for the things that he's done, right? Just to reset the mind and say, hey, wait a moment. That's the world, man. I don't want that, right? And this world, this word just can do that. Now, look at this. Verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. This is a good thing to know. The good things, the truly good things, come from who? Come from God. That's really good to know, because sometimes the things of the world that would tempt us seem like they're really good. And when held up next to the things that we know from the Word God wants for us, they maybe don't seem quite as good. But every good gift, every good thing comes from him. Gosh, and if it isn't from his hand, it's not best. What comes from his hand is best. Do you see how helpful that is to know that? Boy, to just know that, to help guide my heart and my life in this walk. Right? To line this mind up and line this heart up with the Spirit of God that already dwells there. Really awesome. It's good to know that. Then this says in verse 18, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Quick to hear what? Who are we quick to hear? We're quick to hear him, right? His word. We're quick to hear his word, to receive it. Boy, and we're going to see this later as we go. We're going to look at a couple records. But all through this book, you see examples after examples of examples of folks who did take heed to the word. And you see example after example of example of people who didn't take heed to his word. And there's very clear difference, right? Even folks who took heed to his word and lost their life in doing so, they are the ones who are more blessed, and you see that, and it bears out through the whole book. You know? Pretty awesome. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And then look at this beautiful exhortation in verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Isn't that cool? And then it talks about being doers of the word and not hearers only, right? Because we don't want to just hear it. We want to hear and then do it. Where I want you to go here next is go to Hebrews chapter 4, please. I love that salvation for your souls there. Because this is, James was written to people who are already born again. Sometimes I think when you hear save your soul, you think of in terms of salvation. But there's a salvation or deliverance for your soul life here and now in listening and obeying and taking the word of God in meekly. Do you see that? There's a deliverance for you in your life now. Hebrews chapter 4. All right, so there's a greater context here to this verse, these verses in Hebrews, encouraging the listener not to have an evil heart of unbelief, not to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin as Israel was in the desert, and thus miss the rest which God has provided in Christ. What I want to glean from it today, this verse in this section here, is just the nature of God's word and how this applies to us in terms of walking by the Spirit. So chapter 4, and we're going to read starting here in verse 11. It says here, "Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." And that's referring back to Israel in the desert. A bunch of folks who didn't consistently receive the word of God with meekness, right? Look at this, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Isn't that incredible? An incredible truth to know that? You know, when I open the book, when I go to hear the word of God, when I listen to a teaching or a sermon to receive it, that this word of God comes and it divides between soul and spirit. It's the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's incredible. So what an incredible thing to have dwelling in my heart and in my mind to help someone who's been redeemed from this earth and made new in Christ. And now I have this word of God dwelling in me that enables a person to see the difference between soul and spirit. You understand? You see it clear. And it's that critic. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Look at this, verse 13. "And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." I just love that. And this is what his word does for us. That's why it's so exciting. And honestly, guys, what a privilege we have to have this book. I think about this sometimes, like, gosh, think about this, the believers in the past that didn't have this. You know, and you think, how did they do it? You know, and there's got to be special grace there for them to do it, because the truth is God has designed us to receive his word and to think his word and put it in our heart. You see it all through the scriptures, right? So we're such a blessed people to have so many of the words of God in a book that's just at our hand, right in our hands. You know, what a wonderful thing. You know, I think about that. I think, gosh, we don't want to waste this opportunity. You know, there's many in the world today who don't even have the Bible in their hands. What a joy that we do. All right, go to 1 Corinthians, please. Again, looking at how the Word of God helps us to walk in the world in step with the Spirit instead of in step with the flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All right, we're going to pick on the Israelites again in the desert. Some of you folks have been going on Thursdays at Jared and Taylor's and listening to the series on Exodus and
Numbers.
Numbers. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Sorry, I'm way behind. Verse 1, look at this. "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer." Okay? Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the ends of the age has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. And I love the way this opens up, because it's saying, look, all of these folks, all the people of God, they all experienced the same deliverance, which was available in that day, which was the deliverance that came with Moses. They came out of Egypt. They were, it uses this word, they were baptized into Moses, right? They saw the pillar of fire, the pillar of smoke. They saw the sea divided, right? The word of God, the law was given to them. So they had much given to them by God. And many words to follow as well, right? So they saw the glory of God. They saw the deliverance. They were all together in this thing. And yet many of them chose not to put the word of God in their heart, not to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which was able to save their souls. You see? And so it's written down here for us as an example to see, hey, this is what a big deal this is. You get it? And now look at this. I love this. Now let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. That's a good thing for me to know in this day. I'm trying to stand on God's word and on in his spirit, walk in his spirit. So I need to take heed so that I don't fall. And then look at this, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Well, that's good to know. Let me tell you this. You know, with working with a lot of people over the years, and myself included, we all have a tendency to think that our problems and temptations and sins are special. Mine, yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what my life, all what it's led up to this point, and so the temptations I experience are much stronger than the ones you do. You know, we all do that. And, you know, it's a devilish trick, because it makes you feel very isolated from everybody else in the group. You think that you're the only one, that you think you're especially messed up or especially not messed up, whatever it may be, right? God's word is so clear. And I just love, again, look at what this word of God in my heart does, because that temptation maybe comes to think, you know what, I'm a little more screwed up than my brother. What does the word of God say? There's no temptation taking you that isn't common to man. It's common to mankind, right? So if I'm dealing with it, I bet you my brother's dealing with it. Or maybe has dealt with it, right? And what kind of door does that open then, just to say, hey, I need to be honest about this thing. I'm struggling and I need your help. And I need God's help, because these are common things. Isn't that good to know that, right? But will the flesh tell you that? No, the flesh thinks it's special. It's not.
Yeah.
Look at this. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation is to overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. Look at this. God is faithful. And take heed to this. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Isn't that exciting to know that? God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Isn't that cool? Hey, you know, you look in the gospel records. Early on in the gospel records, Jesus Christ was led by the Spirit to the wilderness. You remember that? And he was tempted there for 40 days. But guess who? It wasn't God who tempted him, was it? It was the devil who tempted him, right? But he was led there by the Spirit. Now, Jesus likely can handle a lot more temptation than you or I can, right? But you think about the beauty of this, is that part of life will be to go through trial and temptation. We know this. It's not inherently bad. It's just the reality of the world we live in, right? And going through, being tried by temptation and standing is a very great thing for your life. The fire of a trial will purify your faith like good days won't. Okay? However, in the midst of these trials, temptations, whatever, God will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. Isn't that good to know? It's good to know, A, he wasn't the one that brought the trial or temptation, because he doesn't tempt with evil. So we know where it's coming from, and we also know who's with us and won't allow it. He literally won't allow it to be more than what we're able to handle. Boy, that's good to know, right? So I have that running around in my head up here, instead of what the world is whispering, which is, you're especially terrible, and you've gone through this before, and you know you're not going to stand this time because you never have, and you probably shouldn't talk to your brother about it because they're doing it right and you're not, right? That's what the world is whispering, but the Word of God speaks differently, right? Do you see the function of this Word to help us to walk in step with the Spirit? So beautiful to know that. It's delivering. And then it says, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Don't put anything above him. Okay? Go to 2 Timothy, please. I don't know why I always have a hard time finding Timothy. He gets stuck on my other pages here. There he is. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. This is a great one. Chapter 3, verse 16, it says here, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That the man of God, or the messenger of God, someone who speaks for God. And I know that this verse, you know, this book, 2 Timothy, is a written by Paul to a young leader or pastor in the church, right? So there's a certain application there for someone in Timothy's position. But the book is here for all of us. And these truths are applicable across the whole church, right? Mm-hmm. And there's something actually, this struck me and it's funny. I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but I'll share it with you anyways. I think I've always looked at this scripture, or at least primarily looked at it, in terms of the Word of God being a tool for me to use to teach, to reprove, to correct, and to instruct in righteousness. Okay? But I want you to read verse 14 with me here. Look at this. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or equipped for every good work. And I think many of you know that word equipped is like a ship fully outfitted and ready to sail, right? Which I think is a great mind picture of it. But Timothy's being encouraged to take heed to the word for his own heart, right? God's word is profitable for you, each one of you in this room, for me to receive its teaching, to receive its reproof, to receive its correction, to receive its instruction in righteousness, which we have because of the Spirit of God that dwells in us. We are righteous in his sight, right? We learned that last week. We've died to sin. We're alive to God. This Word of God teaches, reproves, corrects our hearts and our minds so that we can be fully equipped to minister, to teach, to live out God's Word in righteousness. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. You see that? It's it's just incredible, and that's why we take the time to be in it. In Ephesians 2, I'm just going to read it. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." It's the Word of God that equips us like that fully outfitted ship ready to go to sea, to walk in the good works already prepared in God, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty awesome. Go to Ephesians, please, and we'll finish out there in Ephesians chapter 6. It really is amazing where, you know, just the heart at which we can approach the Word. No, I don't want it. It's not like a religious, and we've talked about this before, it's not a religious obligation. It's not a check mark in my day. Okay, got the Scriptures done. Now I can do something else. Like, I got to please God, so I better make sure that I read His Word. Check. You know, now I prayed. Check. Okay, it's done. Right? It's really a retraining, a constant retraining of our heart and our mind to put this Word of God in. You know, I don't know if it's a great analogy or not, but someone mentioned, like, if you ever had a bucket of clean water at a construction site, you know, it wouldn't take long before there's a lot of mud in that water, right? So you want to just keep filling it up with the good stuff. Keep filling it up with that clean water so it continues to be a clean bucket of water in the middle of a construction site where there's just the constant worldly garbage that's coming in through the eyes, through the ears. You understand what I'm saying? It's why, honestly, the older I get, the less I care to listen to things and watch things that I used to permit in my life. And the truth is just I see more and more that it's like, gosh, it's just garbage. I don't want to think that way. You know, yeah, it's entertaining, I guess, but I don't want to think that way. And the Word of God just cleanses and cleanses and cleanses, and you start to see that salad really does taste better. Yeah. All right. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at this. This is a scripture about standing, right? We read earlier, take heed lest we... Him that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. In Ephesians 6, and we're going to look at verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Boy, is that helpful to know that? To walk by the Spirit? It is. You know, sometimes, for me at least, and maybe for you too, sometimes when you really have your eyes opened to how evil the devil is and the schemes that he tries to play to draw people into that evil, you all the more are like, holy moly, I want nothing to do with that. I want nothing. That is so... It's when it's schemey, you know, when things are kind of veiled a little for what they really are, that we often will find ourselves biting. But it's so good to know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? But it's a spiritual thing. Hey, I've been released from the bondage of my flesh to be able to walk as a child of God and walk in step with the Spirit now. That's good to know that, right? And now we have this choice. I can walk free. And the Word of God informs my mind and my heart of that, of the truth that He's already done by the Spirit of God. That's delivering to have that Word in my heart, in my mind. We're going to look at the armor of God. And you know what's so neat? That, you know, I'm no expert on this section of Scripture. Probably the kids could do a better job of teaching this after walking through it with Deb over the years. But... each one of these things really corresponds to the Word of God in a way. And I want you to see how that is as we go. Verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Well, what is truth? Right? We get it from his word. The truth of what God has said. When God says it, it becomes truth. If it wasn't true before he said it, it is true after he said it. Right? Let there be light, and there was light. There was no light before. He said it. It became true. Do you see the connection, how the word of God is truth? It's truth. Boy, I want to live in truth. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, that good news of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Well, what is it that we believe?
Word.
What is it that we believe? We believe his word. We believe the truth that he's spoken out of his mouth, right? Isn't that simple? We're not just believing in believing. I'm believing something he's told me. Hey, you're righteous. You're my child. I won't allow you to be tempted above what you're able. I'll make a way of escape for you. You can come with boldness to my throne of grace in time of need. Truth. You see it? As I believe that, I say, okay, Father, and I might even be struggling to believe it. I might say, help thou mine unbelief. You know, I know what you're saying is true. I'm asking you for help. Holding up that shield. You see? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I love that. Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Sometimes I think of that sword in terms of like outward battle, you know, of which it could be. But then I think about the battle sometimes in my own heart and mind, right? How the sword of the Spirit can cut, can show me what's of God and what's of the world. So that then I, the one who's been redeemed and set free from the world, can choose the Spirit of God instead of choosing the world. Well, the Word of God has done that for me in my heart and my mind. You see that? It's now opened my eyes so I see, and I, Jim Janovac, who am redeemed, and I know it because the Word told me so, can choose to walk in step with the Spirit instead of choosing to walk in step with the desires of the flesh. Isn't that cool? You see that? I can choose to submit myself to the one I call Lord instead of submitting myself to my body, who often wants me to follow it and do what it wants. You see? It's deliverance, man. And the Word of God teaches and shows us this. And then it ends here. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints, and also for me, that words may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And I think what a beautiful thing to be praying for. There's a lot of prayers in Ephesians. We've talked about them before, but so many, all of them really are revolved around God, open our heart, open our mind, help us to see, help us to know and understand your word so that we can walk. Okay? So we can walk. So that's my encouragement to you today. If you're struggling to be in the book, boy, just take a little piece at a time. Ask God for help. Open the book. Let it begin. Let your mind begin to receive it meekly. And so it can be the thoughts of your heart, the intentions of your mind, yeah, and how that will help you walk by the Spirit. Okay? All right, that's it. I'm going to pray. All right, Father, just so thankful for your word. Again, thank you, God, that you are so gracious to have protected it and brought it to this place where it's in our hands. And we pray for your people worldwide, and especially for those who don't have your scripture in their hands. And I just pray for that opportunity for them, and also just the word that they do have, that they are able to hold tightly to it. Thank you, Father, for this congregation, and just for our sweet fellowship we have with one another, the unity that we have in the Spirit. We pray for the folks that are not here today, and we thank you that that we just get an opportunity to stand in this day together and help one another do it. We praise you, God. We thank you because you're so tender and so gracious and merciful with us. And we do it all in the name of Jesus Christ to your glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hey, I want to remind everyone.